Hello and welcome to this podcast of the Lotus Seers for the 24th of February 2022. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the ugly side of Canada, the consequences of the lockdown are dire, and also demand for racism outstrips supply.
Yeah.
Which it certainly does.
We're not going to be talking about Ukraine because that's currently going on.
Yeah.
So that'll be tomorrow.
Like, if we did it now, we just, everything would be out of date within 12 hours.
And we wouldn't, I mean, we don't really know what's happened either. The dust hasn't settled, so.
Yeah, so we'll see that when we get to it. But some things to mention first on the website. So the first thing's going up here. So the first mention is John Wheatley's video, The Subversion of Magic. Ooh. As you can see there, it's of course about the new woke Lord of the Rings that is or is not canon. It's a whole mess there.
Well, I haven't had time to watch this, but I could hear him recording it, and he sounded very excited when he was recording it. It was a very passionate video. So I'm really looking forward to watching this one.
Those make great direct videos, so go check that out. If we go to the next one, we can see a new article here from John Tangney, Scholarship as Ninja Assassination, Critical Race Theory and Conservatives.
It's a great premise as well.
Yeah. So this has been republished again, so as you can see there, it now has an audio track for Silver and Gold Tier members, so especially if you did give it a read, or if you just didn't read it and then want to go back and find it, definitely go back now and give it a listen as well if you feel like it. So if we go to the next one, we also have the gold tier Zoom call that we'll be doing tomorrow.
That'd be fun.
Be there.
We've extended the time on it from 1 hour to an hour and a half because there are lots of people joining, which is always nice, and it's always nice to talk to everyone.
So if you're a gold tier member, do turn up. You'll find the details on the page if you're signed in. We also have like a new rule now, right, for anyone who didn't join last time, which is just we're trying to keep it to like, what was it, 5 minutes or something per person?
Yeah, 5 minutes per person.
So then we get through a lot more, and I feel like it makes everything more condensed as well. So,
well, it's because there are lots of people and everyone wants to have a say on something.
Yeah, so be there. Yeah. And if you want to join, sign up. Otherwise, time for news.
It seems that the World Economic Forum's regime in Canada, headed by Justin Trudeau, has defeated the truckers, which is deeply saddening, I think. I very much enjoyed the truckers' protest, but it seems it's been crushed by the heel of this new international order. So I thought it was worth going through and examining exactly how Trudeau has done this, because it's been a kind of a full-spectrum attack on the truckers, and it's been very effective, and Trudeau definitely looks like the cat who got the cream. So we'll begin with the ideological attack on the truckers. Now, this actually took a while to get into motion. As you can see, this was only published a couple of days ago, and it's almost a month after the truckers began what they were doing. And so let's just go through it quickly, because I think it's important to understand their framing, because their framing is their justification for everything. So they say, during the truck convoy protests, we have watched banners demanding freedom, quote-unquote, waving over big rigs parked in front of Parliament, but what does this vaunted freedom, quote-unquote, actually mean? The answer is everything and nothing. It doesn't mean anything now. It's a concept that's so inclusive, it includes nothing.
It's the critical race theory strategy.
Yeah.
Make the words mean nothing.
Exactly.
Obviously, that's not what it meant to the truckers, though.
Of course. And so when it says, when they say everything, it's the right not to wear masks in public places, the right not to be vaccinated, the right to hold Ottawa's downtown residents and businesses hostage, the right to malign public officials and call for the Prime Minister's death, the right to shout epithets at people of colour.
That was on the list of demands, was it?
I don't think
it
was.
I'd also love to say the N-word. Just
yeah, the N-word passes for all. But the point, the first two are true. The other three are, of course, false. The right not to wear masks in public and the right not to be vaccinated. So they are definitive, reasonable demands that can be labelled under the category of freedom. But then it's nothing. Freedom is an empty word. Unless you ask further questions. Freedom from what? Freedom to do what? And beyond that, where do my freedoms end and other freedoms begin? So the freedom of others begin. So it's like, no, that it's actually not an empty word at all. And you don't need to ask further questions. And you have actually exactly laid out perfectly the trucker's position. We want to be free not to be oppressed by the government, is what the trucker's basic contention is. And in particular, the not having to wear masks and the right not to be vaccinated. But then they go on. Freedom is not absolute. We live in a social matrix where one person's exercise of freedom may conflict with another person's exercise of freedom. Section 1 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms states this plainly. The Charter gives Canadians a bundle of rights and freedoms. Notice that framing. The Charter gives Canadians rights.
It's not how rights work.
Very French. It's not how English rights work, but this is Canada. I mean, our rights don't work that way either, but ideologically, that's not how rights work. But it prefaces them with caution. These rights and freedoms, precious as they are not absolute. The government, it claims, can limit freedoms provided the limits are reasonable and can be justified in a free and democratic society. And you can see how this is something that's just setting up a justification to simply take your freedoms away. Well, we justify it. We find it reasonable. We don't care if you don't find it reasonable. You don't even have the right to, you know, protest or blockade or anything like that. We'll take that right away from you anyway. So it's all reasonable. So at the end of the day, you know, anything they do could be given this cover at the end of the day. Anyway, throughout the never-ending pandemic, we have watched our governments, provincial and federal, struggle to draw lines on freedom in the right place, to echo the words of the Charter, to set limits that are reasonable and can be justified in a free and democratic society. Isn't that interesting? We've got a never-ending pandemic, and we can't even define where the reasonable line is. Okay, well then how can you draw it? Well, we're going to draw it anyway. Inevitably, some people disagree with where a particular government has drawn a particular limit and how long that limit should be maintained and how long it should be enforced. If we care about our democracy and common future together, we will submit to those limits in the short run and use elections and courts to hold government responsible in the long run. Right. So you've said, look, just deal with the never-ending tyranny for as long as we say so. And if we don't get voted out, that means we did nothing wrong. Why couldn't a southern slave owner use that same argument? Look, if you think slavery is unjust, just vote us out in the next election.
I'm sure the votes will work.
Yeah. It just merely vote in the abolitionists in the South if you don't like slavery. You know, that's how it works. The heady notion of freedom, defined as the unconstrained right to do what you want free of government limits, serves as a cloak for actions that harm women, men, and children who are simply going about their business and trying to do the right thing. Freedom without limits slides imperceptibly into freedom to say and do what you want about people who don't look or talk like you. You're racist. Freedom to be racist. That's what they mean. Sadly, the Ottawa Truckers Convoy has revealed this ugly side of freedom.
This is mad, because I mean, she started off with just, here's some straw man. I've painted a swastika on him.
Now you're now a Nazi.
Isn't he ridiculous?
Yeah.
That's you, by the way. It's not.
Yeah. And so as we move forward from the pandemic into the future, we need to understand the true nature of freedom under our constitution. So now we're redefining freedom. True freedom is, quote, freedom subject to reasonable limits that allow us to live together is essential to a peaceful and prosperous future for us all. Let's not allow the freedoms we cherish to become ugly freedoms.
Yes, so we have the right to protest, provided that no one is harmed or anything, and no one is.
But what this means is your view of freedom is now a false consciousness. They have defined true freedom that is truly in your interests.
Sure, but even their own definition doesn't actually rule out what happened with the protests.
No, not well. The truckers honking
depends on what you mean. Reasonable, obviously.
Exactly.
Any actual reasonable person wouldn't go with what they're thinking.
And so that's exactly what they're arguing. And so true freedom is the freedom to be oppressed by the government and just deal with it for the next 5 years. That's what true freedom is. And of course, freedom is a colonial concept. So if we can go to the next one, you can see how we've got, they're not really protesting for freedom. They're also racist. And Canada is a racist country. And so the concept of freedom is a racist concept. You see how this is all being justified. While the convoy supporters have characterized the protest as a peaceful movement, uninformed by politics, race, religion, or any personal beliefs, many supporters have been associated with or expressed racist, Islamophobic, and white supremacist views. But the concept of freedom itself is a white supremacist view, as this article explains. The convoy has surprised onlookers in the United States and Canada, but because both the explicitly racist and violent perspectives of some of the organizers, and because the action seems to violate the norms of Canadian politeness. The convoy represents the extension of a strain of Canadian history that has long masked itself behind peacefulness or unity. Settler colonialism. Colonialist, racist, Nazis, who are violent. That's what those truckers are. It is not incidental to this latest expression of white supremacy. This is an expression of white supremacy now. Is emerging amid a public health crisis. No, it's not incidental. It's directly responsible.
Point, you idiot. Yeah.
The history of Canadian settler colonialism and public health demonstrates how both overt white supremacist claims and seemingly more inert nationalistic claims about unity and freedom both enable and erase ongoing harm to marginalized communities. So now the truckers are hurting Native Americans.
But it's so transparent. Like, they're just using marginalized communities as another, like, shield, and I think to be thrown at the meat grinder.
Yes.
But just the freedom-orientated world view that you can have from the English and the settlers and the setting up of Canada and the United States and all that. That's all racist white supremacy. Therefore, anyone who insists on that worldview instead of a globalist worldview in which the elites tell you what to do are racist white supremacists, blah, blah, blah.
But they're also hating native Canadians, indigenous Canadians.
Yeah.
Amazing. So Canada, like the United States, of course, they go on to explain the settler colonial project, and that essentially this is just the painting of Canadian history.
Not wanting to be the CCP.
is intrinsically evil, right? And so Canadians become intrinsically bad themselves. And they give an example, sort of 1964, the Indian and Northern Health Services, directed by the Department of National Health and Welfare, increased the number of Indian hospitals, but these were segregated. And this was an expansion of the Canadian welfare state. So this is evil. Building Indians' hospitals is now bad, right? But the expansion of the welfare state thus perpetuated the project of colonialism. Welfare states are colonial. I like that.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. Allocating goods and services to certain residents while maintaining segregation and racial hierarchy. Ooh. The primarily white, capital W, white, supporters of the Freedom Convoy. So white as in a nationality now.
Politically white.
Yeah, politically white. That's what a Canadian is. The Indigenous are not Canadians, as far as they're concerned, right? When you capitalize white in this way, it becomes a political statement. But the capital white supporters, and again, this is the mainstream media. This is not like, this is what the alt-right have been begging for, is that they capitalize the W in white. But the white supporters of the Freedom Convoy argue the pandemic mandates infringe upon their constitutional rights to freedom. The notion of freedom was historically and remains intertwined with capital whiteness. You're a Nazi if you want freedom. How could you want freedom? That's settler colonialism. The belief that one's entitlement to freedom is a key component of white supremacy. Really? The Nazis were like, well, you know, people need freedom.
Look at what they're saying as well, though, which is that you mentioned with the capital white being the alt-right thing. Yeah. Like, they're saying, if you want freedom or whatnot, you have to stand with the Nazis. Yeah. As if that makes any kind of sense. Yeah. The white nationalist.
Nazis, like, totally pro-freedom. It's
barbarically stupid.
Yeah. But that's where we are. This is what we've arrived at. This explains why the Freedom Convoy members see themselves as entitled to freedom, no matter the public health consequences to those around them. Now, of course, there's no public health consequence now because the coronavirus has become endemic. But Canada's history of freedom, then, was founded in the unfreedom of Indigenous people. If there were zero people in Canada, if it was an undiscovered land where not one human had stepped foot, there would still be this English notion of freedom that arrived with the English colonists. So it is not founded on the unfreedom of Indigenous people.
I mean, many of these areas, there were zero people.
Yes, that's true. But this is a demonstrably untrue statement, but this is how it's framed. If you want freedom, you're enslaving Indigenous people. That's what she's saying.
If you insist.
It's mad, isn't it? They are advancing a settler colonial genealogy that deploys the language of freedom and unity while engaging in actions that are harmful and violent, says Taylor Dysart, a PhD candidate at the Department of History and Sociology of Science at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks, foreigner, with your foreign ideology from America. Come over and explains how the Canadians are actually a bunch of Nazis whose very notion of freedom intrinsically oppresses Native Americans. Very cool, very relevant. But these people are on the internet a lot. And this line of thought, if you think, well, this is just two articles, no, this line of thought gets all the way to the Canadian Parliament, where we get to hear that Honk Honk is an acronym for Heil Hitler. Let's play the clip.
How many guns need to be seized? How much vitriol do we have to see of Honk Honk, which is an acronym for Hail Hitler, do we need to see by these protesters on social media?
Mm-hmm. What?
They've lost their minds.
They've spent a lot of time on 4chan.
Yeah, they really have lost their bloody minds.
I mean, that was a meme that was on 4chan, but of course this is contained to 4chan. Nobody in reality thinks honking of horns is a Heil Hitler meme. Anyway, so now we have defined freedom as government-defined authoritarianism and the truckers as Nazis. Let's take a look at what has happened. How did Trudeau treat the truckers? Well, he had not once attempted to reason with the truckers or accept that his policy was to blame. He just came out and called them racist, right? He identified them as the enemy. The racists, the white supremacists, the Nazis, these are all the same thing. The truckers were put instantly into the enemy category. And he literally said, I support Black Lives Matter protests because I support Black Lives Matter. I don't support this protest because this is white supremacy or something along those lines. And so it's not the act of protesting that he supports. It is the cause he supports. And of course, if you're supporting the wrong cause, he doesn't support your right to protest, which is why he's done what he's done. And so on the 17th of February...
So if the Prime Minister of the bloody country supports you, you don't need to protest.
what are you protesting when all the institutions are on your side?
The point of protest is to... Object to the against government. The power structure.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, on the 17th of February, they began freezing accounts. So Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland and the said that the financial institutions had moved quickly to freeze the accounts of people linked to the demonstrations in Ottawa, leaving an unknown number of protesters in financial limbo. And she vowed to continue doing this until they... to starve the organisers of funds they needed to continue their occupation of the nation's capital. And then, of course, we covered how after that, Trudeau's terror troopers moved in and just started beating people, clearing the truckers out by force. Nameless, unidentifiable foot soldiers of the regime beat and trampled and shot people with rubber bullets and tear gas and things like that. People were arrested, bank accounts frozen, and journalists were beaten as well. Incidentally. So, brilliant. You know, good to see.
I've seen some supposed liberals say this is all fine.
Yeah.
And I just think back to like the miner strikes or like the petrol protests in which the petrol like trucks would just park outside the refineries and blockade them.
Mm-hmm.
And no one had their bank account taken away.
Mad. But the point is, the truckers have been pathologized as being evil Nazi racists by the power structure, and then violence is done to them by it. By, again, these anonymous, unaccountable, and again, beating journalists. Like, there are at least two, and they said to the journalists, we can't guarantee your safety. Like, this is mad. And of course they arrested the convoy leaders, which is, as Jack Posobiec pointed out, this was one of the organizers that was under arrest. What a surprise. And so what's happened now that the truckers have been cleared out of Ottawa? Well, you would think that life would go back to normal, but you would be wrong. For some reason, Justin Trudeau has turned Ottawa into a police state, literally with checkpoints around. As you can see, the Ottawa police here, there are approximately 100 police checkpoints surrounding the secure downtown area. Police will simply ask your reason for travelling within the area, and if they don't like it, what then? I suppose you're turned away, as we saw, in fact, previously.
I want to go for a walk. Not good enough.
Yeah. No. Go away. This is mad. If we can go to the next one. This, again, multiple reports of this. Randy Hillier is a member of the provincial parliament for Lanark, Frontenac and Kingston. The people of Ottawa in Ottawa are now living in an occupied zone under siege by the police state of Justin Trudeau. They must seek permission to walk or drive on the streets. They must prove their travel is warranted and necessary. Police have closed businesses without compensation. Mad. It's turned into like a little Soviet zone.
I mean, your cyberpunk dystopia memes are becoming more and more true.
It absolutely is. And so the blockade is lifted, but apparently the situation is not over. According to Justin Trudeau, the blockades are lifted, but the state of emergency is not over. Well, what was the emergency other than the blockades, Mr. Trudeau? Anyway, so this was all done without legal authority. And so Justin Trudeau's government has presented the Emergencies Act that they wanted to be passed in order to legalise retrospectively their actions. And at the moment, Trudeau and the NDP, the two power brokers, the Liberals and the NDP, I'm not an expert on Canadian politics, but I asked Deb about this and he was explaining, look, they've got this power block that is holding the rest in check because for some reason Canadians vote for tyranny. But the NDP leader, Jagmeet Singh, said that his party will reluctantly support the vote on the Emergencies Act, which meant it would be expected to go through. Why would you reluctantly support this, like, you know, new emergency procedure where the government can just literally start freezing people's money and freezing their bank accounts? Why would you support that?
Because I'm a real liberal.
Exactly, because I'm... I mean, these aren't liberals, these are socialists. Yeah. But he said it was a failure of leadership to take the threat seriously, and in response to the failure of leadership, he will allow the government to gain more power by putting in place the Emergencies Act. And he said he would support the act to target the financing of the convoy, a serious threat to Canadians, the citizens of the city of Ottawa, and the threat to democracy that they posed. Remember, the racist Canadians pose a threat to democracy, according to minions of the World Economic Forum. The NDP voters, however, are not in favour of this, and this has put their party into crisis. MPs know that their voters oppose these emergency measures and support the workers' choice, but it didn't matter, and it went through anyway. But anyway, people even went out and started protesting the NDP's headquarters, because why wouldn't you? Like, if you can go to the next one, John, the NDP voters were protesting the NDP's headquarters, where you can see Jagmeet Singh's...
people sitting outside honking, presumably.
Yeah. So those Nazis. And so after all of this, Trudeau was just like, well, look, the MPs, there were lots of debates in the parliament, and they have a Senate as well, and this was held up in the Senate somewhat. But we'll get to that in a minute, in fact. But he came out and said, well, it's like the MPs don't trust the government. Why would they? Even go to the next one, John. Trudeau says that the MPs who vote against the Emergency Act indicate that they don't trust the government to make incredibly momentous and important decisions.
Yes!
That's exactly right. You're not a trustworthy person.
We've been through this.
The entire English-speaking world's political traditions are founded on distrust of government. Cuban?
Like, if not the last century, at least, yeah. Just of lessons.
But just, it's mad, isn't it? It's absolutely mad. But anyway, like I said, this went through Parliament. Parliament approved Trudeau's Enabling Act. The resulting vote was 185 in favour to 151 against. Only 151 don't trust Justin Trudeau.
181 trust the government to do anything.
185.
Trust
them with these remarkable extraordinary powers. And of course, these votes were split along party lines, with Liberals and NDP voting in favour and the rest voting against, the Conservatives and Bloc Québécois and all this. And so retroactively, this legitimises Trudeau's actions. He's invoked emergencies. He's done nothing wrong legally. And so anyway, during this, 206 bank accounts were frozen. As The Guardian reports, and Jordan Peterson says that miserable rag, yep, 206 people's lives ruined without trial. Mad. This is just, why don't you trust the government?
Again, like, we've had the kind of protests in the UK with the petrol protests, and people didn't get their bank accounts frozen. This is entirely a new thing, that we just target people protesting on the basis that we don't like them.
And that's exactly what it is.
We're allowed to do it because they're Nazis, as you say.
Exactly, and that's exactly what it was. And so the government, was it Trudeau's deputy, Freeland, if you can go to the next one, John, literally just says, well, look, if you want to get your accounts unfrozen, you've got to stop protesting the government. We're literally going to hold your money ransom while you do something that opposes us. And I love this. Just pause and think about the implications of a Western government telling its citizens the only way their bank accounts will be unfrozen is if they stop protesting the government. That is mad levels of tyranny right there. And the Conservatives, of course, were effing useless. All they had to say is, well, I mean, just make sure that you're actually, verifying the people that you're talking about when you're opposing this in the parliament, saying, well, you know, I spoke to this person and she said she had her bank account frozen, and just make sure it's the right one. It's like, dude, you look like you've been taken over by a bunch of Nazis. I hate to say it. You know, what are you doing? Like, you.
When the Chinese do this, we complain. When Canada does it, they're saving democracy.
Exactly. It's like, do you really have nothing? I mean, why aren't you joining the truckers? Like, why didn't every single one of you go out and form a human line around the truckers as the Gestapo started advancing to beat the crap out of them or trample them with horses? But you're sitting in the parliament going, well, I mean, at least I've double-checked. I've got her surname, so I know it's the right person. Oh, shut up. But anyway, so after this, right, Trudeau has ruthlessly declared the truckers to be his enemies, enemies of the state, no less, enemies of democracy. He has sent in the military, or whatever the paramilitary nameless troops, I don't even know what we're supposed to call them, the terror troopers, have gone in, cracked skulls, beaten journalists, trampled old ladies, physically removed the truckers and ruined their financial prospects. He then calmly ends the emergency. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. He's revoking the use of the Emergencies Act because he says, quote, the situation is no longer an emergency. Well, it's not if you literally crack skulls. Once they've been literally pacified, of course it's not an emergency. This is a battle you've won.
I saw a lot of people saying it's him realising he's buggered up, but...
I'll get to that in a second. We are confident that existing laws and bylaws are now sufficient to keep people safe. MPs in the House of Commons voted to affirm the use of the Act on Monday, and the Senate was in the midst of debating the Act on Wednesday, but he withdrew the motion shortly after Trudeau made this announcement. So he didn't even need permission for this from the other branches of the state, right? And that's the point. Trudeau has moved very quickly here, and yeah, this doubtless would have been politically untenable, right? But he didn't need to wait. The governmental machinery was too slow to keep up with what he was doing. He got in there, he cracked skulls, he froze bank accounts, he went to post hoc retroactively legalize it, and before they even get to decide whether it was legal or not, the emergency is already over because he's already done the damn act. And so now he can just remove that and say, well, look, there's no emergency now, everything's fine, there's nothing left to debate, and he just looked awful, in my opinion. But it was unbelievably cunning. Is how I would describe this. And so they've begun like unfreezing bank accounts. Look, the truckers are gone. We have physically removed them. The legality of it be damned. In the next one, the bank accounts just being unfrozen. And this went down to people literally. It's not impossible that someone who gave $20 could be captured and their bank account frozen. But I think that'll be rare. So, that'll be rare. That's okay then.
No, right.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is they're beginning to unfreeze them now. So it's like, right, okay, protests over. Stop protesting us.
This will never happen again.
Oh, they don't say that. Right, and so Trudeau has turned Canada into a despotism that can be turned on and off like a tap. There's no reason he can't do this again. If the government feels like it, it can declare the opposition to the government to be settler colonialism and racism, take immediate and violent action, economically lock the citizenry, post facto legalize its actions, and then turn them off again after the protests are crushed and say that everything is hunky-dory and you should just trust the government. This is the pretense of a free society. This is a grinning cat wearing the skin suit of a mouse. It's moving too quickly for the machinery of government to catch up, and he has outfoxed them all. Now, I doubt this is going to help him come the next election. Like, I don't think people are going to forget what has been done here. Yeah, I mean, and if it hasn't, then there's something wrong with Canadians. But let's have a quick watch of how, and watch his mannerisms, watch how he's talking, watch the fact that he can barely contain his smile. Let's go.
In a democracy, you can protest, you can share your opinion at the top of your lungs, you can disagree with elected officials, you can certainly disagree with me, but you can't harass your fellow citizens who disagree with you. You can't hold a city hostage. You can't block a critical trade corridor and deprive people of their jobs. You can't attack journalists for reporting, which is essential to our democracy.
Yeah.
What you can do is vote. What you can do is run for office. That's how change happens in a democracy.
Okay, so start with Canada has hate speech laws that he supports, mm-hmm. So you can't do that. You, what was the second thing? You can't blockade a city. You can't shut down the country. Well, he did that with the lockdowns. You can't harass your fellow citizens. But he does all of these.
Can't attack journalists.
Can't attack journalists.
Although I can't guarantee their safety.
Yeah, I mean he has. We know we can name the journalists that his forces
rebel
have
news
attacked.
Lady who got yeah. shot with rubber bullets or whatever.
Exactly. Right. So he has done all of those things, and he's saying you can't do all of those things. You can't shut down the country. Can't say naughty things, and you can't harass or beat journalists. So sorry, you've done all of that, right? And then he's like, okay, so what can you do? Vote. Well, no vote was offered on this. The Canadians did not vote on lockdowns. You know, there was no referendum. They haven't had an election since 2019, I think it was. You know, there was no vote on this. And so there's nothing that the Canadians could have done to prevent what Justin Trudeau has done. And what he's saying is this is an elective dictatorship. Every 5 years, you might get to change the dictator. But until that election comes around, you have no power and no rights. He has won here, and the Canadians have lost. And so then we pivot very slightly to this full-on invasion of Ukraine. This is just Marco Rubio, because this was all happening very, very rapidly this morning. It's still happening right now as we record. But there's a full-on invasion of Ukraine going on, and so Justin Trudeau has to come out and make a statement about this. And let's just watch his statement, because it's incredible.
Canada and our allies will defend democracy. We are taking these actions today to stand against authoritarianism. The people of Ukraine, like all people, must be free to determine their own future. We will continue working with our international partners to safeguard Ukraine's territorial integrity and prevent further Russian aggression.
Freedom's settler colonialism, Justin. Didn't know if you got the memo or something, but like, why are we in favor of freedom all of a sudden? You say authoritarianism? Really? I mean, it's just the absolute gall.
I mean, everyone saw the different accounts as well. The Canadian government accounts being like, we stand, you know, we need to bash down the truckers, but I stand with freedom in Cuba. It's like, funny you bring up Cuba. But also, the lady in the back there, did you see? I don't know what
she's
that,
so
that's
weird.
About.
She does this in every press conference.
Sitting in the background while he's spouting crap, and she's like,
she's twitching like a lunatic. It's weird.
Fat boy behind the bully is like,
But I don't even know. I think there's something wrong with her, to be honest. Because it doesn't seem natural, does it? But yeah, the gall of him to be able to come out and say this. And so I thought we'd move from that into talking about the dire consequences of the lockdowns. Because this is what Trudeau has imposed on his country and all of the other Western leaders imposed on the rest of us and many other world leaders on their countries. And so it's like, right, okay, this was for public health. Is the overriding goal.
The meme of public health.
And the people the people who oppose this are Nazis. And so we'll just go through the results, because the results are now coming in about what happens when you forcibly lock a country down. And it's not good. It's really not good. So first of all, we'll start with the John Hopkins study that we've covered before. That's just, according to the study, lockdowns have had little to no effect on COVID-19 mortality in the US and Europe, and only reduced COVID-19 mortality by 0.2% on average. So,
nothing.
Barely measurable. And they do say that the intervention may have had some effect on reducing COVID-19 mortality by closing of non-essential businesses like bars and things like that, as in people getting drunk and dying when they're drunk.
Right, so the net positives are zero.
Yeah.
They're all zero.
So let's get to the damage. So let's begin with the economic damage, which is the least of the damage, in my opinion. This, obviously, the impact of this has varied greatly from industry to industry. Sectors that, this is just the Wikipedia page. There's a huge Wikipedia page. It's very, very well sourced on this. As you can just, like, scroll down just to keep going, John, because you'll see all of the different areas in which, like, you know, everything was ruined, basically. But, you know, the sectors that rely heavily on physical presence, including passenger transportation, the arts, entertainment, tourism, and hospitality, were impacted the worst, with declines of up to 30% in the second quarter of 2020 compared to the first quarter. Various other industries, obviously, just is full spectrum, basically. Everywhere was screwed, apart from very certain key points, which we'll talk about in a minute. And in 2020, Yelp, when the first lockdowns came in, it became apparent to Yelp, a business aggregating site basically, that 60% of restaurants will never reopen. So many of these closures are permanent, not going to come back. And so that meant that the rich got richer and the poor got screwed, as Real Clear Politics told us. This, again, Real Clear Politics, not some sort of right-wing libertarian think tank or something. But this is just from this analysis here. Shutting down the economy hurt the poor most and vastly widened the chasm between rich and poor. Lockdowns squashed small startup businesses, hurt low-income workers whose jobs are first in line to be destroyed, and devastated educational advances of children in the worst school districts. We'll talk about that in a minute. We learned that big businesses scored a $1.4 trillion payday during the pandemic. Amazon, Apple, Facebook and Google and Microsoft increased their profits by 45% last year. Would you like almost half of what you're making on top of what you're already making? Yeah, I'd love that. Thanks very much. Great. All we have to do is screw the regular people of the country. You're welcome. From the front page of the New York Times, wealth inequality is the highest since World War II. George Soros, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett won the lottery. If any good comes out of COVID-19, it should be that we've learned this lesson the hard way, and never, never again should we allow politicians to impose these unconstitutional lockdown orders again. I agree. And what happens in the West makes the rest of the world follow, because the West is an influential place. And so, as Vox points out, this hurt poor countries worse than it hurt us. In most high-income countries, stay-at-home orders have been a cornerstone of the coronavirus response, but this one-size-fits-all approach doesn't necessarily fit well with the needs of the developing world. And you got some really quite horrible stories. I mean, like, the rest of the world is a lot more rough than we are. You know, there are like in Nigeria, 18 people have been killed by security forces for violating lockdowns, things like that. But basically, things got a lot worse. I'm just going to skip over a lot of it because it's quite grim, to be honest. But yeah, so we influenced these countries to lock down, and a bunch of people are dead, and their economies are ruined because of that policy. Okay. And so how has this affected our own population? Well, the health secretary has said that the levels of depression among adults has nearly doubled since the pandemic began. Brilliant. Among the most worrying consequences of the coronavirus lockdowns has been a rise in mental health problems. In November last year, the health secretary said that levels of depression among adults had nearly doubled since the pandemic began. Young people have also been badly affected, with most studies showing that children's mental health has worsened. Good news. Also, the GPs are taking fewer referrals to therapy and things like that. Don't know why.
So early signs of trying to get them help also not going to happen.
Yes, down by a third. So 30% of people who need help are not going to get the help. And of course, drug overdosing increased during the lockdowns. If you can scroll down a bit, you can see a tweet that really just sums up from the NCHS. Right. Stat of the day. Over 93,000 Americans died of a drug overdose in 2020, up nearly 30% from 2019. Got nothing to do? In your house all day? May as well take some drugs. What else are you going to do with your day? In May 2021, The Lancet released a analysis suggesting that they didn't find any statistical increase in the amounts of suicide. They say, quote, "We did not find a rise in suicide rates in England in the months after the first national lockdown began in 2020, despite evidence of greater distress. However, a number of caveats apply. These early figures may change. Any effect of the pandemic may vary by population group or geographical area." So basically, they've got nothing with the initial data, but the thing is, I couldn't find any update on this. So this is the latest thing I could find on England in particular, but elsewhere we do have data. For example, the Center for Disease Control in America recently released a study that showed female adolescents from 12 through 17 had visited the emergency department for suicide attempts between February and March 2021 at nearly 51% higher rate compared to 2019 in the same time frame before the lockdowns. So 50% increase in young women or young girls trying to kill themselves. Nothing to see here. Data from the Netherlands has come out as well, which is not good. Suicides rose significantly among Dutch people up to the age of 30 last year. So young Dutch people committing suicide, particularly during the lockdown months of January, February and December. The new figures that have been published show that on average, 20 young adults took their lives each month in the previous year, but then it 50% increased to 30 every month. So a 50% increase in suicides. Not good.
But not in England.
Well, we don't have the England one yet, unfortunately. But they were classed as...
I mean, what are you expecting? That's the thing.
Well, it's going to be something very similar. I mean, I don't think the English and the Dutch are so terribly dissimilar. But this was classed as statistically worrying. Yeah, it's worrying when you get a 50% increase in suicides because of government policy. But there is also increased sustained deaths, as US life insurers have made a large number of COVID-19 death benefit payouts last year. More surprisingly, many saw a jump in other death claims too. So industry executives and actuaries believe that many of these other fatalities are tied to delays in medical care as a result of lockdowns in 2020, and then later people's fear of seeking out treatment and trouble lining up appointments. And so they expect to see continued high levels of these deaths for some time, even if COVID-19 deaths decline this year. So people are going to die after the lockdowns because of the lockdowns.
Well, verifiably. I mean, the insurers are saying that, okay, there was a rate of deaths, and then we had COVID, it increased, and now the COVID deaths are gone. But the rate of deaths is now higher than it used to be, and will stay that way for time?
Yes. Just
until... we don't know.
Yeah, and that's because people aren't getting operations. Because the next one, this is in Britain. Apparently, 1 in 7 patients, so after 20,000 people surveyed, 1 in 7 of them, 15%, did not receive their planned operation after almost 5.5 months from their diagnosis. And so this is not good. People not getting treated. Because apparently the hospitals are overwhelmed, even though the hospitals were never overwhelmed. Frail patients, those with advanced cancer, and those waiting for surgery in lower middle-income countries, were all less likely to have the cancer operation that they urgently needed.
So it's not just that people aren't getting cancer treatment they need. The worst off are the ones not getting it.
Yes. Cancer patients are not getting life-saving operations. And so this has added to the backlog in the UK, which was 4.43 million people on a waiting list for care. This has gone up to over 6 million people waiting for treatment. Wonderful. Did we save the NHS by sacrificing ourselves?
Well, we kind of killed the NHS with the backlog. I mean, I don't know if you can scroll down on this, John. There is a graph in here where you can just see just the effect.
Look at that.
As you can see. Yeah. There you go. Like, it's kind of stable, going up a little bit because stay with it. And then
pandemic, population increase, that's why.
Pandemic happens, explodes up.
Yeah.
When's that going to be gone? 10 years?
Well, the backlog's just been getting bigger and bigger and bigger for the last 5 years before the pandemic.
So what do you mean? I mean, 2 years from now, do you think that's not going to be 6 million?
Well, the immigration rate is still the same, so it's going to continue.
Sure, but I know they're throwing more money at it to try and get rid of it. I don't think that's even going to affect.
They're not going to. But anyway, let's turn now to the effect on the people who are the most vulnerable in society, children. The effect that this has had on our kids. Because this is where it gets really sad and really awful. There's one thing, adults, you know, dying or killing themselves and say, yep, that's tragic. But they're at least adults. You know, they're at least fully realised.
Sacrificing our children to save the NHS is...
Yes, this is where we've got to. Right. Sacrificing children to save the NHS. Right. So one of the most obvious problems and most immediate problems from locking children in their homes for a year is that they become fat. The number of morbidly... Now, 40% of British children are morbidly obese.
From 35.
Yeah. I mean, go back to 2006, it was 30%. So not good, but like that's wild, isn't it?
It's at least like, you know, stable-ish and then just massive up.
Nearly half of kids are obese or overweight. It's wild. But anyway, there are worse problems than being fat, though, because at least you can lose the fat. But if you were born in the pandemic, then you're stupid and you're never going to recover from this, right? The first few years of a child's life are critical to their cognitive development. But with COVID-19 triggered the closure of businesses, nurseries, schools and playgrounds, life for infants changed considerably with their parents' stress and stretch as they tried to balance work and childcare. In the decade preceding the pandemic, the mean IQ score on standardized tests for children aged between 3 months and 3 years of age hovered around 100. But for children born during the pandemic, that number tumbled to 78, according to this analysis. 22 IQ points knocked off. By God, that is unbelievable. That is unforgivable that you are taking away so many potential futures from children here.
How long has it taken to get society up 22 IQ points?
Decade? What, 100 years?
And it's just within 1 year. Just...
gone. I mean, imagine that if you were born with 120 IQ, you could expect a nice academic career, maybe you'd do something really good to contribute to humanity, but you've been knocked down to 98, below average. It's disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. Anyway, and this isn't just newborns, of course, who were born in the pandemic where they couldn't socialise and learn from the people around them. I mean, I'm just saying, I've got a son who was born during the pandemic. Like, so this particularly bothers me. He's one now, and to be honest with you, luckily enough, he seems quite smart. He's figuring a lot of stuff out, and so it's, you know, a lot of the time that's bad. But like, okay, I might be like the one example where my child isn't an idiot because he was born in the pandemic, because he had siblings and whatnot, I guess. But this is just... But
didn't you have trouble with your other son, like learning how to write?
Oh, yeah. School's closed. Yeah, his writing was definitely delayed. Yeah, stuff like this. Absolutely. Well, yeah, so we get to slightly older children. It's not good, right? Apparently, the nation's lockdown policies created a generation of children who will exhibit lower IQs and signs of social brain damage, according to a clinical psychiatrist for children and adolescents. The masks, Zoom schools, and lockdown mandates have all led to a deprivation overall of social contact, of not being able to see faces, of being stuck at home all day long, and this has actually caused brain damage to youngsters, says Carl Hennig, the director of Oxford University's Centre for Evidence-Based Medicine. He also says that the pandemic restrictions and the fear we instill into children has led to the worsening of psychological problems. He cited his study that concluded that 8 out of 10 children and adolescents report worsening of behaviour or any psychological symptoms and an increase in negative feelings due to the COVID-19 pandemic. School closures contributed to anxiety, loneliness and stress. Negative feelings due to COVID-19 increased with the duration of school closures. Deteriorating mental health was found to be worse in females and older adolescents. Adolescents above the age of 12 did worse than children under 12, as adolescents face increasing peer pressure and social pressure and various other problems. Right, not good, basically. And this isn't ending after the lockdown. These effects will continue on even though the lockdowns have ended. From as this study points out here, From pre to during lockdown, perceived stress, well-being, depressive symptoms, mood disturbance, and memory were all significantly worsened. There were significant improvements in self-reported physical health symptoms, social interaction, time spent with social interaction and time spent engaging in physical activities, and aspects of engagement quality. Follow-up shown that well-being, depression, and mood were still negatively affected post-lockdown. So these effects are going to be with us, probably at least for a couple of generations. And it's just an unbelievable tragedy for no benefit at all. Anyway, after that terribly depressing couple of segments, let's get something a little bit more lighthearted.
2 weeks to flatten the curve. Two weeks to destroy society.
2 weeks to destroy two generations of children.
Oh, God.
It's disastrously such bad news.
Try to have some more fun. Sorry.
Yeah. So there's a palate cleanser for that.
Demand for racism has severely outstripped supply, and this is something a lot of people have noticed. Douglas Murray, will remember, mentioned it in his book about the madness of crowds. And as you can see here, Libs of TikTok has also noticed this with another racial hoax. As you can see, she says, "Once again, the demand for racism exceeds supply, and then the story being a black female high school student is identified as the vandal behind racist graffiti that saw Sacramento High School's water fountains scrawled with white and coloured."
Now, hang on a second. How do we know this isn't just a progressive critical race theory initiative where she's like, well, we deserve our own separate ones because we've been oppressed?
We don't.
Because literally the critical race theorists want segregation.
The NAACP will have something to say about this.
And I guess they will.
So we go to the Postmillennial, who have some more reporting on this particular incident. It's saying here, an individual wrote white and coloured over a school water fountain, referencing the Jim Crow era. Mark T. Harris, the district's race and equality monitor, I don't know what the hell that is, told CBS 13...
Well, that's where we are now. They have race and equality monitors.
Just for the district.
People are employed to do it.
People are there to tell you if you're black or a woman.
Well, this is why I was like, well, are we sure this is racist and not just progressive?
Yeah. But a black female student has confessed to the vandalism and was caught on camera in the act.
Of course.
Very
she
smart.
Was.
Harris said that he believes the vandalism was not racially motivated.
Well, what was motivating it?
The race and equality monitor saw someone do racial graffiti and was like, well, this has nothing to do with race. Why? Why would you do that? Why would the Race Equality Monitor not see race in an act of putting Jim Crow era graffiti?
What would be the point? I mean, what is it, an art project?
No.
Like, what would be the point if not motivated by race?
It says, "I don't believe these words that were on those water fountains were racist."
What?
Direct quote. Doesn't believe
okay,
they're racist.
So are we saying that when, like, white people who are racists do it, then it's not racist in and of itself?
No. When white people do it, it is racist.
Right.
And
but if
joking.
A black person does it, it's not racist.
Black woman, right. Absolutely not.
Right,
He literally says, "I do not believe they were hate crime or hate speech. Part of it, quite honestly, is because the admitted perpetrator is a young African-American woman."
Literally, it's because she black.
She black, bro. Therefore, not racism.
If she white, then...
that'd be racism.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Open your
right. All right.
According to CBS 13, the student said during an interview that it was a prank, bro. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Obviously not.
Not wasting my time with that.
Oh, good God.
And then someone called Axios joined other activists from Sacramento's NAACP and Black Youth Leader in calling for the district to be more transparent in their findings and raised doubts about the student's confession. They didn't believe it.
Notice how this is Mark Hughes's repressive tolerance in action, right? The permission is given to the in-group and denied to the out-group. So as if this was a white person, be like, no, that's racist. That person's in trouble.
Not even that. We don't even believe it's a black woman, even though she's confessed.
Well, I mean, maybe. But that was the point. It was a prank. It wasn't racist. Therefore, she's let off. And that could be done to anyone, but it won't be.
Yeah. Sure. Except that's not what the story ends, as I say. You have NAACP and the black youth leadership saying, we want you to be more transparent in your findings, so we don't trust you that this black woman actually confessed. I don't know. Like, did they torture her? And they raised doubts about the student's confession, reportedly citing mistrust of the district's past handling of racist acts. They just don't believe it.
Right. Okay. So she's a patsy.
She has been, I don't know, the district
she's
race
the fall
monitor.
Girl.
Took her behind into the basement, electrode, pulled out her teeth. Confess, damn it.
Well, I mean, probably not even that. Probably just, look, you won't get in trouble. Can you just take the fall?
Yeah, I'll just say it's black women, so it's not racist.
Yeah, because then it's fine.
According to CBS 13, the incident comes amidst a number of racial incidents that have occurred in the school district, which totally are not also by black women. In the past week, graffiti was found at Abraham Lincoln Elementary with messages including KKK, the N-word, and a swastika.
So there are Democrats operating on this campus.
Fantastic. Again, it's
that's the main concern.
You'll notice as we go forwards, look how basic I was. Whoever did this just did KKK, N-word, swastika, and was like, that's my afternoon done. In a statement, the district said that they are working with law enforcement, hired an attorney focusing on social justice issues. It's just on college campuses, bro. It's not going to cost any money.
It's not a cult or anything.
We already have a race monitor for the entire district. We've called in an attorney to focus on social justice.
We've got a priest in.
Yep.
Like, okay.
Holy water on the swastika made it an anti-racist swastika. Implemented anti-racism training for staff because a black woman did something racist.
Yeah.
And then we're not even saying it's racist, actually, because she's black woman.
Confessional, right? Okay.
We don't even believe that if you're under NAACP. Yeah. And are promoting social-emotional learning in hope of preventing future or similar incidents.
So they have to come to mass.
They all have to come to mass. All the staff have to give extra hours praising Kim Il-sung. And the black girl who did it gets off scot-free because she's a black girl, so... But again, I love it.
Privileged class.
It's a black girl.
Because
so
she's oppressed.
There was no racism, but we need racial training.
Yeah. All the whites need racial training because this oppressed class did something.
Yeah. This black leftist girl can't help herself.
Amazing.
And therefore everyone else in the situation is racist. Sure. So if we go to the next one, you can see an example of the NAACP all protesting there because they don't believe that it was a black girl, even though the black girl confessed. I don't know if they're alleging torture charges. She was on video as well, but that could be faked video.
I guess
Putin style.
Deep faked video of the black girl doing the swastika and she admits, yeah, it was me.
The NAACP are like, oh, that's deep fake, bro. Figure it out. So let's see how likely it is that the other incidents, as I mentioned, were also black Klan members. And I think there's a high likelihood. Let's move forwards. Let's go to the next one, because there are a lot of black women who are, I don't know, feeling lonely or bored for the evening. And so there's one here. For 11 months, black families in the Atlanta suburb were terrorized with letters from someone saying they are a white KKK member who will burn down their houses and kill them. Following an extensive investigation, police charged Teresa Lucas, a black woman. Teresa was sat at home, printing off with a little printer. Goes through. KKK
recently
leaflet.
Joined the Democrat Party. It's like, right, I'm going to get my Klan hood.
Yeehaw. Not the only one. So we've got two now. Okay, we'll go forward. We'll go to the next one, please. And we can check out a new story. So here we go. Vibro University was rocked by shocking racist hate crimes, sparking mass protests. Then last week, the hate escalated to an arson attack near a room of black race activists. Victoria Shi Unaka, following police investigation, the student was arrested.
Did she join the Democrats too?
She presumably also did. As you can see, people were holding signs that black is beautiful.
Oh, God,
woman.
Stop persecuting this woman. Well, she did it to herself, so...
I don't know if they're protesting the arrest. Black is beautiful, she let her go. The racism is bad because you arrested the black woman who was trying to set fire to people.
Tolerating racism is racism. What?
Why
that
her.
Doesn't make any sense. Like, semantically, that doesn't make sense.
Hate has no home here. Well, don't worry, we got her, lads. She's gone.
But I mean, like, definitionally, tolerating racism is racism. So tolerating racism means tolerating. It's a recursive loop.
Stupid signs from stupid people.
Unbelievable. And the stupid white girls, too, look at them.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Very virtuous.
Or stupid people. An investigation found that a black student was not a victim of racism for eating while black. At an elite
eating
university.
While black.
She alleged that she was eating while black. She was eating and people told her off for stuff and then I was eating while black. It turns out Umu Kantanu made up claims that ruined the lives of four campus workers.
I can't believe it.
Hate hoax. These are all the women I found. It's just black women who just want some racism in their lives, I suppose. I don't know what else they're doing with their time.
Probably quite boring.
Yeah. If we go to the next set. These are the androgynous ones where we just have students and stuff. So you can see there's one more here from a lady. So this is a Smurta SC woman and rapper who was running to be the city's first black female mayor, has been arrested for allegedly faking her own kidnapping and beating for sympathy votes. Hashtag hate hoax.
Sabrina Princess Belcher live streamed the stunt on Facebook.
Yeah, let's continue. So if we go to the next one, we start with the students here. Felony charges have been filed against Caitlin Clark Mabbins?
Kalia Clark Mabbins.
A black Southern Illinois student who allegedly committed a hate hoax involving racist threats. The investigation involved the U.S. Secret Service and wrongly implicated two white people. Just keeps
okay,
going.
Okay, yeah.
Just desperate.
Yeah.
Desperate for this to be in their lives. They're not happy that there's no racism in their lives. They're going about. There's no racism. No one's saying any Klan leaflets. No one's, you know, saying that there's no one's burning down buildings with black people in their lives. And instead, they're like, oh, I could do with a bit of that.
But you can see what this is about, though, isn't it? It's about attention seeking.
Yeah.
You know, I'm being sent death threats by the Klan. Are you?
Doesn't stop there. Let's keep going. There are lots and lots of these. So this is Albion College. You may remember this, which were like, we stand with black students. And then, as Andy Ngo informs themselves, Albion College has not informed the public or its student body that the racist white supremacist messages were part of a hate hoax by a black student on campus.
Again, it's a way for the black student to gain public notoriety and unfettered praise from the institution.
Unless Albion College is playing 5D chess and they stand with the racist messages, because they're like, we stand with the black students.
Who write racist messages.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe Albion are that deep undercover in white supremacy. Let's continue. If we go to the next one, we have more students. So, silence is violence, despite the white supremacist graffiti turning out to be a hate hoax by a black student. People at Albion College are boycotting classes again for a third day. They have a list of race-related demands. So we can see, for people listening, a
bunch of white people have a list of race-related demands. Oh, that's good.
Huge students. They're all been told there was a black student who wrote the leaflets. They're going out screaming about silence is violence.
Amazing.
You must stand with the messages.
Tell you what, silence is bloody golden.
Let's continue.
Wait, as soon as you get kids, you really realize, but silence is beautiful.
White lives matter. Let's kill all the... on campus. Shocking racist messages written on campus at Albion College in Michigan sparked days of protest over the graffiti. Well, has been a hate hoax by a black student. Remember I mentioned earlier about someone who went...
Hang on. How do you know it's a hoax and how do you know it's not just a sincerely held conviction?
You remember that black girl on Dr.
Phil? No, we are assuming it's a hoax and we're assuming that a black person can't believe that white lives matter. Kill all N-words.
Yeah. Do you remember the lady on Dr. Phil who was like, I hate black people? She was a black woman?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's not without precedent.
It could happen. We could have the black
Clan. The Clayton Bigsby's of Albion College.
Let's move forward because there's another university that stands against racism.
Oh, good.
UW stands against hate and racism.
Oh.
No one's ever done that before.
Thank you so much.
Salutes in the chat, fellas. Yeah. That is a tough statement. It's a black guy. let's go to the next one. Another hate hoax. UW for whites only sign posted on UW Mansion campus. Students and admin panicked. Calls for those responsible to be expelled. Turns out it was a hoax campaign by social justice activists to bring awareness to trans people of color.
Well, I think they should still be expelled.
Bollocks. Trans people of color, whites only. Where was the trans bit?
Well, yeah, what's that got to do with any of it? But like, again, I don't know that it's not a sincerely held belief and they should definitely be expelled.
Yes.
They won't be.
But again, as you mentioned, it's another example of, I think they did the white stuff and then were like, let's come up with an excuse.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Trans people of color, please don't expel us, please.
Didn't think I'd get caught.
I just wanted the attention. I just wanted the big story so that I could stand outside with a fist and be like, I stand against racism, aren't I cool, fellas? Oh yes, I'm so good.
Give me the social credit I deserve.
You're the cringiest people on the bloody planet. Doesn't end there. We also, so those are the androgynous ones, but we don't know the gender of the individual. Maybe more women there, but then we'll go for the black males as well. It's just...
What is that?
Tried hard. I think that's meant to be a clan hood as well, the circle. Unless it's a duck or something.
I love that is the worst swastika.
Yeah. Vandal smashed up cars.
You idiot.
At Blacktone Auto Repair Shop in Spring Lake. They left graffiti, reportedly to be a swastika and a KKK hood. I love reportedly.
You know that they're eventually going to start creating social justice classes that teach these black people how to draw swastikas.
Yeah.
However, in order that they don't keep getting hoaxed like this.
Zandy says, however, footage from the security system shows that two black men were responsible.
Maybe they were Democrat voters, I don't know.
I don't know if they owned the repair shop.
The repair shop voted for Clinton.
Mm. Move forward, there's some more.
That is just the worst swastika.
It's terrible.
And the clowner, that's so clownish.
She's going to do swastikas, at least do them. No.
It looks like someone wearing a dunce cap.
What did he do? Because he did all three of them right, and then he got to the fourth one and went, crap. let's go to the next story, because again, it doesn't end. Isala Martin, a BLM activist, of course, yep. TMMU, claimed in ultra-viral tweet that racist messages were left on his car. Video shows he placed them there himself. He is now refusing to cooperate with the police.
Police are racists.
they left the messages.
Literally video of you doing it, but the police are the racists.
Endlessly.
And also everyone else is a racist.
Endlessly this happens. We'll go to the next one. More. Of course there's more. Philadelphia, earlier this month, racist slurs were sprayed on a mural honouring black civil rights activists. The N-word and other profanities were sprayed. Police have now released a video of the suspect.
God,
and he's provided us with a screenshot.
God. Imagine being a black social justice activist on a college campus and they're like, oh my God, there's a KKK hood and a badly drawn swastika and the N-word. You'd be like, oh no.
But even to this point...
Don't release the footage. Oh, look, there's the suspect. Oh, God damn it. You know, I've got legitimate civil rights grievances here.
But this
damn it, Tyrone.
This member of the civil...
What's he think he's doing? Look at the concentration on his face. This is going to show those Nazis.
A member of the Uncle Ruckus fan club went down to a civil rights activist mural, sprayed near... he did the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then went home, tucked up in bed.
I'm fighting for black people.
Prayed to Uncle Ruckus so they could... It's endless. They don't stop. And the question I had in my mind...
Fucking idiot.
Because we all know, as you said, it's blatantly obvious. Why are they doing this? Well, they want it for attention. They want it to be the good guy. There is social value and social capital to be the victim of racism.
The university is going to give them money and honors and respect.
Social media will give you a lot of likes.
Yeah, you get
follows.
So much on Twitter. If only there were racists at your college campus, but unfortunately they're all Republicans.
So you've got to get the spray can and go spray the N-word tonight. And then... Oh, boy.
It's embarrassing.
The praise you will be given.
Yeah.
And that is the way our society works. That's just from a top-down view. That is just how things work. And then I thought I'd compare this to actual racism, or at least cases where we can point to it, in the opposite direction, because you don't get white, racist, hoax, hate crimes. Like, I can't find it. I've not seen people being like, yeah, Mayo Monkey was sprayed on my door last night. Isn't this ridiculous? Give me some likes on Twitter. Oh, this is so terrible. Because it wouldn't work.
Gammon.
Yeah. If you posted on Twitter that someone came to your house and sprayed gammon all over your house and then put it on Twitter, people would be like, yeah, you deserve it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get loads
of
likes.
Owen Jones is going to laugh at you.
Yeah, that's how it would work. And we have some explicit examples. We've mentioned them before, but I'll go through them quickly. Police discriminated against white heterosexual male. Tribunal finds. This is in the Cheshire Police Force.
Mm-hmm.
He was white and male, therefore didn't get the job and had to sue and then prove it in court. If we go to the next one, we can just see the Labour Party, just a major political party in the West. Nothing big. And this was the chair of the entire conference saying that there were too many white men speaking at the conference and then did not want white men from then on speaking.
Good point, yep.
Yeah.
The Labour conference was fantastic. I loved every second of it.
Go to the next one. We also have just open jobs for every institution you can think of, including state-funded ones, in which
BBC.
White people are not allowed to apply. And then if we go to the last one here, just the sign, of course, that it's okay to be white. That's a criminal poster. It needs to be kept in mind.
How do we know it wasn't a black person who put it up?
We don't.
How do we know that it's not sincerely held conviction by this black person?
It could have been Charlene. I don't know. But why do you do it? Why do you not? Well, why do they not do it? It's because it offers no advantage, obviously.
Yes.
And anti-white hate / discrimination is the cultural and legal norm, just demonstrated by those examples there, at least in the West.
But also pro-black affirmative action and positive discrimination is the cultural norm.
Absolutely. But not just cultural, legal.
Yeah.
You know, it's in practice of governments, governance, it's the normal thing to do as well. And I don't know really what to say, except that I suppose this just shows the prevalence of the critical race theory view of racism. I mean, going back to that first story, the lady, like, she's a black woman, she did the water fountain thing, and the race monitor just decided it wasn't racism because she's a black woman.
Yeah.
Black people can't be racist.
This is what the critical race theorists would call the expansive definition of racism. Mm. Racism is an outcome rather than racism is a process, which is the restrictive view, which is the one I hold to.
But anyway, there's a whole bunch of examples of it happening. And if someone says to you, black people can't be racist, I just send them this video. Give it a share for those folks. I'd love to see what they have to say, frankly. If you are one of those folks, let me know in the comments, because I'd love to have a chat. Let's go to the video comments.
Carl, when you first started the Lotus Eaters, the word you used to describe the kind of content you wanted to create was nourishing. If I'm going to guess your intentions, I think I found a word that better suits what you were meaning with that word, and that is edifying. Instructive or informative in a way that improves the mind or character. It's often used in a religious context.
That is one dimension of what I intended by saying nourishing, but I also meant something that is, how to put it, something that will sustain you, right? It's not just improving, but it'll also sustain. Keep us going through these dark times, as it were.
Let's go to the next one.
Callum, you've...
I've never used sand to clean things.
I can see you've got softer hands than I do, okay?
Sure, but it's just like... my point isn't that I've not worked... You know, I've been some like hard worker on doing bricklaying.
Well, that's good, because
I've never seen...
This was remarkably controversial. Your lack of understanding that sand could be used to clean
my point, which is just I haven't seen it. Like,
sure.
I've never actually done it, so...
But people were really like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't know this.
Yeah, I don't live in a desert.
Also, you don't do any work.
What, with sand?
Yeah.
Like, I've got water, I live on an island.
Yeah, but we still use sand for things.
I don't use it to clean stuff.
Yeah, but...
I've never done that.
But sand is still something that, like, you know, your driveway will have been built partially with sand.
Sure,
like this.
But I'm not using it to clean my dishes. Like,
sure.
Well, that was the complaint. It was like, why do you not know that sand can clean things? Well, because I don't bloody use
There's
it.
There's more code.
Yeah. Go home and clean your stuff with sand, I guess. Let's go to the next one.
Ooh.
Ah.
Konnichiwa.
Oh, God.
I'm an anime furry and I recommend some head.
Shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up!
That's a true statement.
Very much agree. By a
it's
lot
also
of people are dogs.
Historically accurate. Mm.
Go to the next one.
So, Callum, since you're really into like a. Power armor and external exosuits and all that. Didn't you Brits actually create a portable jetpack kind of system on there? Like, remember there was a few special forces teams that were testing it out and all that. And a funny thing is that the Battlefield 3 theme overlays onto that promo video very nicely. That's kind of cool.
Did we?
Yeah, so it's a British guy who invented the technology. He sold it to the British Navy. He's now sold it to the Netherlands Navy as well to be used. Yeah.
Good for him.
It's a neat technology. It's mostly used for like boarding ships, though, so I don't really know what call it's got right now. But
Somali pirates.
There's already countermeasures that are pretty much good enough for that. Which
yeah,
is
nothing cool as like literally flying onto their ship.
Well, you just hire a load of mercenaries to be on your boat,
oh, sure.
Which is much better. Because anyone comes near it, you get to go... Brr.
It's far less exciting.
What? How is that less exciting?
Flying a jetpack onto the boat to recapture it.
I'd rather burr a little Somali dinghy and just watch it sink with everyone on board.
Okay.
Let's go to the next one.
But anyway, why are we having an official visit from this tinpot little African country?
Minister, I beg of you not to refer to it as a tinpot little African country.
For people listening, he took a sign and put it on Canada and renamed it Tim Pot, Little American Country.
Yes.
Which certainly is. I love that episode of Yes Minister. So you ever heard the term Global South?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
It's so pathetic, like transparently stupid. It's just like, Australia's in the Global North.
Yeah. Fuck you. Well, what they mean is cultural and economic.
They mean Tim Pot, Little African countries.
Yeah.
Or asshole countries, as Trump would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Now, Carl, I know. You've been asking for months now, why am I torturing you with this anime bullshit? Well, there's two reasons. Reason one...
I don't know. Mutual suffering.
Look, I've put a lot of time into this. I love Seth. And I suffer from a bit of a sunk cost fallacy. Reason two? Well, that's what me and Ruckus like to call...
A whip.
No, the other one.
A job application.
That's the ticket. Look, I didn't go to university. Fuck that shit. So, if I want you to hire me, I gotta give you something. Stupid levels of stubbornness and autistic political dissections, all I got.
Fair.
A whip. Sorry.
These were good reasons to do it, to be honest.
Alright, yeah. Good meme at the end there.
Yeah,
fair
enough.
Alright, but still, anime people. By a lot of you people are dogs, we will continue. Let's go to the next one.
I just wanted to, drop in and say that I've been having direct correspondence with Gazi Kodzo from Black Hammer, and I feel like it is imperative that us as the Lotus Eaters take another look at what these guys are doing and their relationship now with the Proud Boys.
Because if your ship can't understand or withstand the fire will engulf you.
Yeah, he came out as pro-Trump.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he going to save the black nation? Or
I don't know, but he came out as pro-Trump, and I found it amusing.
It's like Zamor with the anti-Semite guy who endorsed him. It's just like, yeah, it does amuse me to see him doing this. Let's go to the next one.
Nice message for Bodrick regarding his video yesterday about less safety needed in motorsports. He was talking about F1. Well, I've left you a comment in yesterday's podcast with a link to a video where there's sports have got a lot less safety. I think you might enjoy it. Oh, and Harry, if your dad's looking to come over for the bikes, let us know. I'll set him up with a few beers down the 10.
Unfortunately, we weren't on that podcast, so we don't know what was said.
No, sorry.
Never mind.
Message for Harry, I guess. Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
So there's this tweet going around from Cardi B where she says she doesn't have any commitments to either side of the Ukrainian issue. And this brings up a strategic incongruity from the left and the neocons, where they spend all their time courting the votes of, like, Alphabet folks and Jogger Americans and Islamists, but none of these groups are actually willing to serve to fight their conflicts for them. So they're in a position where they want to pursue war, but none of their primary support base is actually willing to fight for them.
Yes. But, I mean, the they-them army of America is definitely, definitely going to defeat the Russians. Yes.
Get some U.S. Army application forms, put them on a clipboard and give them to them.
Yeah.
Come on, sign up. Oh, you're not?
It's going to support trans rights in Ukraine. I mean, Pink News put up a big thing about apparently loads of gay people have gone out in the streets and were waving gay flags and saying, we're not going to bend the knee to Putin. It's like, yeah, okay. Let's see what he does. Like, I don't care. Good luck.
A lot of jokes to be made there about the knee, but
little gay battalions, like, hiding out in the woodlands in Ukraine.
Okay.
I mean, you know, good luck. Go fight for trans rights in Ukraine. Yeah. I'm not going to...
I don't know. I just, I'm so sick of a discussion where people are like, oh, yeah, this is why we should be in Ukraine. Also, I've never been there. I don't know anything about the East. And it's just like,
yeah.
Like Cardi B. I don't know what that was about.
But no, but do you disagree with their statement? I have no commitments. Well, you have commitments.
Well, that's bit, like... It's brave of her to just... Well, I like when people are just, I just don't know. There are a lot of people right now. I'm not going to name names, but it's just some of them are just like, yeah, I've got a load of things to say about. I'm like, what? Like, I've never heard you talk about this.
Yeah. I mean, before this was all happening, Russia Today invited me on to go talk about cultural issues, right? And it was a few days ago, and they were like, right, can we talk about Ukraine? I was like, no. I don't know anything about Ukraine.
Do that.
Yeah. And now, obviously, that Russia's invaded Ukraine, I don't think we'll go and talk to them, because it seems tactically bad. But it was just like, I agree with Cardi B. I'm like, I don't care about this region, to be honest. I don't care about Russia. I don't care about Ukraine. I care that we're going to get embroiled in some stupid foreign war.
Like, I know there's stuff that, you know, there is important things, but there is not things that I'm not an expert in. Like, if there were some people saying, like, why don't you give a geopolitical analysis of the whole situation? Because I'm not Caspian Report.
Yeah.
If you want
Who's
that,
great, by the way.
Caspian Report.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
And even then, I see people in the comments of Caspian Report being like, you're totally wrong in his word. It's just like...
Well, of course, everyone's going to have that opinion on contested subjects, but like...
But like, people take their geopolitical views stronger than their own faith sometimes.
Yeah. But the important part is that Cardi B is right. You know, we don't have commitments.
Cardi B.
We don't have commitments either way here. You know, and don't get me wrong, Biden does, you know, financial commitments to Ukraine. He and his family have got deep financial ties to Ukraine, as we know from the Hunter Biden laptop, actually. But I don't, so I don't care.
Like, I paid $30,000 a month for Burisma or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's mad. Yeah, it's absolutely mad. But then he also got paid by the ex-mayor of Moscow's wife, didn't he? Millions. Yeah. So it's like playing both sides, you know. This is how it works.
Got to respect the grift.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
got to respect the grind.
But that's the thing. I just don't care about either side, really. Like, it's a foreign... But this is like, okay...
Sigma male grind set. Take money from Russia and then say you're going to stand to Russia.
Like. But, like, if it's like, oh, no, Egypt's invaded Sudan, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Don't care. Why would I care? Like, oh, no.
Sure, it's not unimportant either. It's just... Yeah. It's just not my thing.
No, exactly. Like, it's just a long way away and not my business. So, you know.
Ukrainian refugees.
Hopefully they go to Poland.
Yeah, most of them do.
Yeah, there we go.
I love it. Actually, when we were in Poland, there was a guy mentioning that, I can't remember who it was, but they were just like, oh, you have this problem with all the Poles coming over doing all the building work. Yeah, we've had the same thing with Ukrainians. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, at least the Ukrainians are probably a bit more culturally compatible with the Poles.
Yeah, it's not so, you know, foreign. Yeah. You can all sing Hey Sokole together and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's a good song. Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
Hello, guys. It's your favorite patriarch here in Oklahoma again. Haven't been around for a while because it's been busy. One of the big things going on is my wife and I just became parents.
Hey!
Been wanting to for years and years, and hearing somebody call me dad for the first time was so awesome. Definitely would recommend it. Wish me luck, guys, though. I know it's going to get rough for the next few weeks. Stop being so cute. Love you.
Well, congratulations. It gets difficult for a little while, and then it gets a lot easier. When they start sleeping through the night, it becomes very easy.
Yeah.
And then they get like big enough to start moving themselves around, and then they're really curious about everything that's around them. And then it gets more difficult. Like my wife left a half-empty can of Diet Coke on the side within my son's reach, and obviously I'm in the kitchen doing the dishes. She's upstairs doing, you know, folding clothes or whatever women do, and I'm just there like it's a bit quiet. So, and that's when it's a problem.
Too
right?
quiet.
No, it really is, right? It's a bit suspiciously quiet. So I put down the dishes that I was doing, go into the living room, and my son is just there with this desk, like literally an inch thick coating of Diet Coke, just splash, happily, splashing this Diet Coke all over the place, over the laptop, over the walls, it's dripping on the floor. And I'm just, oh, Jesus. I can't be angry at him, and I can't really be angry at her, although I could be, I suppose. There's no point, you know, like, see, just rust, go get some towels, you know. But it's adorable, because, I mean, he's having a wonderful time, because he doesn't realize he's done anything wrong, you know, because he's only a year old. He's pulled himself up.
You're going to explain to him?
Yeah, and he's literally got the thing, like, exactly, you can't explain it. He's got it upside down, he's got the thing, he's like, oh, this is brilliant. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ, all right. But anyway, yeah.
That to look forward to, I suppose.
It is funny. It is.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Go to the next one.
Oh, this is going to sound callous and mean, but I really don't care what's going on about in rushing Ukraine.
Exactly.
Literally, other side of other hemisphere. I don't know anyone over there. It's unfortunate what's going on, but like, my grocery bill for just me for a week was $50.
Bloody hell.
I don't care about the Ukrainian shit.
I see this a lot. I remember Douglas Murray was asked as an accusation of racism, which is that, well, why do you Westerners don't care when a bomb goes off in Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan, but you care deeply when we murder two people in France? And Douglas just like sat there like, what the fuck? And then I had the same response. People saying in some of the comments, why do you Anglos care about America and Hong Kong but not Ukraine? It's because, of course, you know, there are families.
Cultural ties?
There are families in this country that have ties, family members in those places. The cultural ties, the historical ties, the fact that they are rightful British clay.
Yeah, exactly. But you just don't care about the Ukrainians. No,
I
you
don't
got
care
me.
About the bombs in South Sudan. And it's just like, this isn't difficult to.
Yeah.
So I am sympathetic, especially to the. It's definitely side of Americans, the undisturbed isolationism. I know we're far past the 40s and whatnot, but.
I totally agree with you.
It's not unimportant. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's also one of those things that it feels like an inevitability, right? Like, Russia is going to be meddling in these countries. It's going to be expanding claims to these peripheral states, because it always has, and it always will. Like, in all through history, when has Russia not been basically the dominant power in this local region? Always.
Sure, I don't know.
Apart from when it was occupied by the Mongols.
Yeah,
I don't really know
if you could envision a world where they weren't that regional power. I don't know if that's actually possible. It's a good point.
Exactly. And like, you know, Ukraine's only been independent for like 30 years or something. Like, it's only existed as a country 30 years. Like, what are we talking about? This ancient sovereignty of Ukraine. Part of the Russian
cultural
Empire.
Things and whatnot. Yeah,
for like 700 years.
Yeah, it is what it is. And you can just look at it as like it's a thing that's going on rather than a thing I'm deeply invested in, because there are so many British claims and ties to Sevastopol.
And the thing is, I'm not even unsympathetic. The Ukrainians are like, yeah, we're going to fight for our freedom. Okay, good luck.
Yeah, good. Here's some guns. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've given them guns. So, you know, good luck.
Let's go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines. From yourghoststories.com come the stories of Ghost at Six Flags Great Adventure. This is an amusement park located in Jackson, New Jersey. There was a terrible fire back in the mid-80s, and the haunted house burned down with several teenagers in it, and they all died. People report seeing ghosts or strange shapes or getting cold or seeing people out of the corner of their eye with dated clothing, but when they look, the ghosts are gone.
Love it.
How many of these have you got? Because honestly...
A large number.
Mate, you've been doing these for what? We've been doing like a year?
Yeah, over.
Story every day.
It's been great.
Are you writing these web pages?
I
swear.
I really like them.
No, I don't dislike them. I'm just, I'm worried. Like, how much have you done?
I'm going to be sad when they stop.
Well, he'll move out of Jersey, finally. I don't know. We'll move up to New York or
Yeah, I want to hear other legends of other places.
Yeah, they won't be Legends of the Pines, but Legends of the Hive City.
Yeah.
A man went out and pretended he got hung. They said, Mrs. MAGA country. Let's get the next one.
Hey, guys. So Putin invades Ukraine, full and proper. Wasn't Ukraine that country that was involved in fortifying elections, some elections somewhere, and there's some scandals and corruption going on all through Ukraine? I seem to remember that happening.
Oh, in 2019.
Well, if high-up Western leaders were involved in any of that, and I was an imperialist expansionist kind of guy, I'd probably want to rush in there, take all of that evidence, rush it back to a nice tortured hotel, and hold those people accountable to ransom for whatever the hell I wanted. Because let's face it, if I had that kind of evidence, I could bring their government down, crashing down. Thoughts?
Well, I mean, that's... that comedian guy who's elected. Well, like, Ukraine's a democracy. Well, no, because he was taken out. He was overthrown. I don't know the exact details of it, but basically it was essentially some sort of internal coup where he was just removed, replaced with a Western puppet. Yeah. And then you've got all the Biden administration, like, ties, financial ties to Ukraine. There probably is plenty of evidence in there that makes the Biden family look terrible.
I don't know. I'd hope to find it.
There's no doubt. And so
before you have the Euromaiden as well, and then Yukashenko's corrupt nonsense, where it's just literally rigged, and they have to run it again.
I mean, it's not like they're sat there going, "Oh, Ukraine's a democracy." It's like, oh, well, I wouldn't consider it a democracy. But
what is a democracy?
Canada a democracy?
That's a whole other conversation. There is one of the funniest things from the Thomas Ridd Active Measures Book Club, I don't know if you remember, where the Russians, during one of the Ukrainian elections, hacked into the infrastructure, uploaded a fake image of the results to go live before the polls closed, and then they're like, right, and we'll message it to Russian television and big it up, and then it didn't work, so it didn't appear on the website. Like they forgot to flick like a switch, so it didn't appear. But then they sent it to Russian media, who were like, oh, this has just turned up on the website, and it hadn't. So they just outed themselves as the hackers.
Yeah,
good
amazing
job. Anyway, go to the next one.
Last month, I couldn't attend the GoTier Zoom meeting because I was working, and this month I'm away visiting my girlfriend to celebrate 5 years of being together and also to celebrate my birthday. Greece is an absolutely beautiful country with a fantastic climate, delicious food, and very friendly people, among so many other things. And so while I can't attend the GoTier Zoom meeting, I'm not too upset. However, I will raise a glass of ouzo for you tonight as me and my girlfriend celebrate our anniversary, and until next time, chaps.
Μια θερμή αποχαιρέτηση αυλοτοφάγους.
Greece is beautiful. I love going on holiday there, and I'd love to do so again soon in the future.
Yeah.
If possible.
I think they do, actually. I think you just have to get a negative test.
I'm not getting a goddamn negative test.
I don't know if it's PCR. I think it might be the other one.
I don't care.
Okay.
Ignacio says, we are powerless against the left propaganda machine. They're too good at it for more than a century. They can rewrite whatever event they want to their favor. They will do the same with COVID, truckers, and the new war. What can we do? I assume that all we can do is keep telling the truth. I'm not saying they're not powerful, but we have to keep at least committing to what we believe reality is. Baron von Warhawk says, now that Trudeau has made some bank seizure permanent and used the policy... Well, he's not made it permanent, he's repealed it, but of course it can just come back at any time. Use the police to occupy the capital and make protesting against him illegal. All he has to do is declare that he will suspend elections to make sure trucker terrorists won't infiltrate the government. This is a coup. It does look very much like a World Economic Forum coup over Canada, like the first province, as we called them the other day.
Well, I mean, Klaus is just proud of it.
Yeah.
So,
Chad Koala says, do you think any of those involved in brutalizing actual peaceful protesters and freezing bank accounts in response to dissent will ever be held to account? How would you hold them to account? You don't know who did it. They're not marked. We don't know who they were.
So what are you going to do? Put them on trial for following government's orders?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The only person fundamentally is Trudeau and his party.
Yeah.
And, well...
Well, why would they? What incentive do they possibly have? Bleach Demon says, democracy has become such a hollow word, like racist or sexist. The definitions are as fleeting as the blink of an eye and fit any need. At this rate, I fully expect to see Pol Pot-style killing fields being marketed as semi-voluntary democracy centres for a greener world. Yeah, honestly, that's where we've got to, in Canada at least. Like, none of it is, like, useful or real anymore. Anyway, Alpha of the Betas. You can purposefully drive your car through a crowd of people and still get bail in Canada, but don't embarrass Justin Trudeau because you'll rot in prison. Hashtag free Tamara Leash. She's the woman who was organising.
She's facing a tenner, isn't she?
Yeah, 10 years in jail.
Yeah. Yep. That's what they used to call it in the Gulag Archipelago. Get a tenner. For what? Did a protest.
For something the government made illegal after the fact. Silly Midden says, the Canadian government have total control of the people, their finances, and will go kill the dogs of the non-compliant. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. They're going to steal their dogs, Australian style.
How many days has it been? Because they said it would be 8 days and they'll start killing the dogs.
Yeah.
So but don't forget, a few more days and we're going to start getting news reports of all the dogs they've murdered.
I mean, at least they waited 16 days. The Australians just are like, that's that dog done. Those puppies got COVID. What's wrong with you? Like, even if they do have COVID, okay. Okay, they're COVID puppies. It's fine. They'll get over it probably.
Dogs.
But don't forget the protesters are Nazis, as he points out. Yeah. M1 Ping. No trucker should make a delivery to Ottawa again. Yeah, no. I do think the truckers should continue non-violent resistance.
I think it's an interesting way of looking at it. Just job to Ottawa. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. No one drives to Ottawa.
Any shipping to Ottawa just goes up by 100%. And it's just like, everything gets more expensive in Ottawa.
Yeah, they get nothing, you know. I absolutely
hollow out the
would.
City.
Yeah, I absolutely would. Trudeau should basically become like King John of Canada, like public enemy number one. Everyone hates him. Just passive resistance. Callum says, "Servitude is freedom, obedience is strength, silence is peace." Canada's brave new world, 2022. Yeah, Ignacio again says, "We really need a list of WEF affiliated politicians. They're the cancer cells rooting into our governments. So we need to know who to push out." Although at this point, I think it's just everyone in mainstream politics. Well, the question is, who's not a part of the WEF?
Not that horse.
Yeah. Good point. Anyway, George says, Trudeau stopping the emergency is just a normalisation phase of the four steps of subversion, albeit in an accelerated manner. Yeah, he's been very swift, hasn't he? And you are right. It's normalisation. Now the bad trucks are removed and those who support them are in jail or in hospital, people valuing their security over freedom can once again feel safe. The emergency is over. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Magician of Swedistan says, on the convoy, here in Sweden, I haven't seen a single news report, headline, discussion shared about the Canadian trucker convoy. Yeah, there's no reporting about it here either. Like, yeah. No one talks about it here, like in the media.
Westminster people.
No, none of those. Conversely, the fact that the self-proclaimed People's Republic of Donetsk and Luhansk regions, formerly part of Ukraine, but according to the Western world, still is part of Ukraine, hasn't reached my ears in all 8 years since the Euromaidan riots results in the Crimean crisis. In short, I hate the media and their bold cherry-picking of what is or isn't newsworthy. It's terrible. Cro-Magnon Manx. Chrystia Freeland is mouthing the speech along with Justin behind her mask. Did she seem to be doing it?
I couldn't tell. I just thought she was just like nodding, like some kind of...
But I bet if you look, you can see her mouth going up and down. Maybe, if you're looking for it. All of the emphasis and inflection is fully rehearsed, including her pauses. All these speeches are very specifically targeted to the blue pillar part of the Canadian public. The phrasing and rhythm might be following something similar to the John Oliver formula, which has been shown to be a combination of combination of hypnosis techniques and neuro-linguistic programming. These speeches literally program the blue-pilled listeners. Yeah, I think they probably do. And there's a reason that both him and Jacinda Ardern and the other sort of WEF-trained people, they've got a particular kind of training. And I'm absolutely certain that it's deliberate and intentional.
Have you seen the formula? I can't remember the comedian's name, the guy.
John Oliver.
John Oliver's formula. People laying it out and it's just none of this actually makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, the way he formulates his words is so clearly manipulated by a writer who sat and thought about how to do this to manipulate you.
Yeah.
It's not human.
Mm.
And you start to think, oh, crap. Where else is this taking place?
Yeah. All late night comedy is that now. It's freaky. It's impossible to believe that there's not some kind of deliberate intention behind it. But Free Will says, if you want freedom, you're a Nazi. This is classic doublespeak. Peace is war, slavery is freedom. It is. And I love the idea that you know, freedom is white supremacy, and white supremacy is Nazism. So Nazis wanted freedom. Did they? Fascinating. Why did they institute a totalitarian state then? Why do they have a command economy?
Freedom for the Germans against the...
freedom for the party against the people.
The cabinet was free. Ish.
Yeah, the party was free to do anything they wanted.
They're all spied on by the SS day in, day out. But...
Yeah. Anyway, Baron von Warhawk, the most terrifying words you'll ever hear is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, Ronald Reagan. It was the most terrifying words in the English language, I believe. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Justin says, my friend's mum died due to lockdown, so 6 month checkup after a clear for cancer was cancelled. By the time she got a follow-up appointment, the cancer... What's funny about that?
Sorry, I read a comment. Sorry, that's terrible timing.
That is terrible timing. By the time she got a follow-up appointment, the cancer had returned and spread to her brain. For the same reason, her friend's sister lost her hearing in one ear due to a different ongoing issue where the checkup was cancelled. I mean, both my grandmothers died during the lockdowns. Callum says, I'd love to know where the arguments for why lockdowns are still a good thing and these deaths, suicides and so on were just. What? What's the argument that the lockdowns were a greater good than no lockdown whatsoever? There isn't one at all. There are lots of arguments that the lockdowns are evil. Like we were saying right from the beginning. Now I know we can put. Now I know what the arguments are and were and are, but I want them just to say it so that we can put the nails in their coffin. Sometimes I really loathe the time and age I was born into. Yeah. Brandon says, if you want to know the damage of lockdowns done to teenagers, go to Libs of TikTok and see the damage. That's part of it. Robert says, my daughter was born in September 2020. I couldn't attend any scans and I had to hide. I was helped by the midwife's team. They were very well compensated with chocolates in the hospital. Stay with the missus while she recovered after the birth. NHS policy was that I leave the hospital as soon as the baby falls out of the mother. All parental baby clubs were closed by the cowardly local government. Yeah, it's disgraceful, isn't it? And this is like... genuinely concerning, because as the article detailed, like, it's this particular stage of early life, the first couple of years, that human interaction is particularly necessary for parts of the brain to develop. And that's why kids are now going to be literally retarded in some ways.
See the mask drawings. It's like a kid draws their friends, they draw them with masks.
Yeah.
Because that's how they know them. And it's just
evil. It's evil. Right. Anyway, I think we're out of time.
I'll read the comment. I was laughing, otherwise it wouldn't make sense.
Go on, so,
on the faux racism, Lord Nerevar says, don't worry, we can automate the supply of racism with our new AI overlords.
Good point. Yeah. How will the blacks feel secure unless the AI is drawing swastikas on the walls while they're asleep?
Just like, I had this image in my head of like you being on Amazon and you could just like press a button and order an N-word. Just like you're a black guy and you just saw a black lady who apparently loves racism and just needs it in your life.
Well, no, it'd be a random N-word generator, right? Random racism generator. Because you don't want the same N-word every day. Oh, yeah, the N-word. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, you need swastikas.
No. You're going to get parcels with like different symbols on
clan
them.
Clan hoods, yeah. You know, yeah, yeah.
You're going to get sent a rope in the mail.
Yeah.
Mystery box. Anyway, yeah, sorry about the comment. I just found that funny. But otherwise, if you want more from us, go over to lotusears.com. Please do subscribe to get access to all the premium contents. Go and do check out all the stuff I mentioned. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.